Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I am Craig. This is Greg. You know, in our last episode, we talked a lot about your attitude. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to face that are going to kind of pop some emotions off. And I think that we talked about emotions before, but Greg, emotions can be something that, to me, if they are regulated well, they can be such a powerful force. And if they overflow the boundary, they can be a powerful mess and really could totally undermine your leadership if you let those emotions get away from you. So let's talk about how do we keep those emotions in check?
Well, you know, the word that is often used is emotional regulation. Mm-hmm. When I grew up and my parents would be, hey, have some self-control. I think that's what they were saying.
Probably.
You know, going back a few words, we just didn't have regulation. But it potentially, Craig, could be one of the biggest things our society faces because we're so quick to react versus thoughtfully respond. And you talked about leadership. I mean, you can, if you don't have enough regulation, you can hurt relationships that don't have anything to do with even the institution or organizations you're a part of. But emotional regulation is not easy because it's so easy to fly off the handle.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in business, you know, I guess you're kind of used to it on a sports field. You know, you see people get excited or they get angry at the ref or something like that. And you're like, well, that's on the sports. But, you know, there's a lot of competitive juices that are flowing in an office environment as well that get you riled up. And so it doesn't matter what industry you're in, those emotions are going to come out and they're going to be pretty strong. And I like the word regulation because we're not saying don't have those emotions. That'd be silly to say that. But we're saying you got to keep them regulated inside of appropriate channels.
And I think potentially regulation's harder when we're inexperienced.
Yeah.
And then when we become more experienced because we were inexperienced, right, we can regulate a little better. And so part of it is like it might be a stretch to say, hey, a 12-year-old going through puberty is probably not going to be too strong in the regulation category.
But sure,
we're not talking really about suppressing the feelings.
Right.
It actually is, you know, using them and understanding why we get them. Our triggers is a real big thing, and we can chat about that in a little bit. But I think regulation is an interesting word because it's, or throttle, you know.
Sure.
I was driving through a parking lot at a mall, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go about 10, you know, because you never know if someone's going to back out or kid's going to leave the car when, you know, mom or dad, you know, gets them out of their seat. And it's not stopping. It's just proceeding cautiously.
Yes.
And it's very tough to throttle it down, but boy, the benefits on regulation are huge.
Yes.
They're huge. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, just so we can kind of set the stage, what are some of the messes that can be created if somebody isn't regulating their emotions? What happens colleague to colleague? What happens if you're the top leader and you lose it with your emotions, they're not regulated. What happens corporately and individually when the emotions do run wild?
I had one of my first jobs career-wise, I had a leader, an owner. I wasn't an owner at that time. And they could fly off the handle. As that happened over time, and it wasn't the same person that caused it, the trigger. So obviously the person either came to work with an attitude or just wasn't, you know, didn't, like you talked about in the previous episode about how do you navigate, and you know, you just got to be careful, you know, when you know, whether it's personal development or, you know, leading up, you just don't want to blow up people.
Right.
He blew up so many people that the vice president said, hey, I'll make the rounds. I mean, they knew there was so much damage done. People were getting bruised and battered just by words or, why are you doing it that way? And walks on. You're like, so you don't want to know the answer, but are you doing this for any other reason? I think that probably is the biggest thing of we really don't understand our effect on them if we're the person losing our regulation.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I kind of think a lot of times, you know, if you see a speedboat going across the water in front of that boat can be awfully clear and calm, but it's the wake behind. And I think that that's what happens a lot of times with people that are not emotionally aware, or, you know, to use Daniel Goleman's term, not emotionally intelligent,
yes.
that they're looking ahead going, hey, it's clear waters for me and I'm just powering ahead. And they never take that moment to kind of look back and go, whoa, I left a lot of people bobbing in my wake back there. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what, where a lot of people miss it, is they're looking ahead and going, it looks fine to me, but they're not really checking the aftermath of what came in after they left.
Right, right. I think we are made of emotions.
Sure.
And I think as leaders, we have to agree that's going to be a tension, right? But to fly off the handle and that's just who I am, you're going to end up really lonely.
Yes.
And probably your legacy as a leader will be diminished based on your lack of control.
Right.
Didn't say eliminating it, because we're full of emotions. I mean, you could wake up one day, feel great, take a bike ride, and some car, you know, cuts you off and you come back home and you're not happy.
Right.
It's like, what the heck were they doing? You know? Yeah. So you started the day well, and these triggers, but triggers really, I want to kind of address three things that we have to be aware of mm-hmm. if we're triggered. One yep. is stress.
Yes.
One is anxiety. And the other one is frustration.
Yep.
Those are kind of the three, I don't call them outbursts, but categories of dysregulation is what we call it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really easy. So stress is, I'm just so chaotic and I can't do this. And you're like, right. okay, but now they're all chaotic.
Right.
You know, and that can happen. I mean, your wife's a teacher. One kid's chaotic and it sort of maybe plays like a bowling pin hits or bowling ball hits a pin and they all fall down because one started and you're like, how did I lose control of the class? You know, and it was just yes. one little trigger of stress, and we all handle it different.
Yep.
But I think the frustration one is when someone's very angry.
Sure.
You know, like they're frustrated. I'm just, you're not listening to me. I didn't talk to you. Oh, I thought it was you, you know, and you're like, and he walks away. You're like,
yeah, give me a chance. Like, right.
What the world?
Yeah.
I think, you know, the battered workforce, they all the good people leave and you're left with the people that are okay being batterers.
Yeah.
You know, battlers and just, you know, bad attitude.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, with stress, when you talk about stress, physically, you know, people talk about our response to stress is fight or flight. And then that kind of, it's almost like knocking down more dominoes. You know, if I'm all stressed and then I am churning this up in other people, well, now I'm kind of like knocking that domino down. They want to fight or they want to run away. Those are probably not too healthy responses there. And, you know, and so again, it's just you might walk in there. Well, I just talked with one person. Yeah, but that attitude now is affecting the other people next to them, next to them, next to them. And it just keeps on going.
I don't know if I'll be able to give good quotes for this or analogies, but, you know, no one ever promised them a primrose path. It's you know, it's not going to be peachy as we go through life.
Right.
It's life. We don't get to control. We can respond to.
Right.
And I think that's where I would challenge us as leaders, as we also work on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That we work on our responses, because they're very tough to pull back, reel them back in.
Yep.
And so one of the things that I want to just share real quick is there's four categories of regulation, and that's kind of a big thing for us to put in place in our heads as we lead and as we reflect, you know, right. like on ourselves. One is self-awareness. And I kind of want to play with that one a little bit
yes.
further in this
one. That's an important one, right?
But the others, you know, are their self-management. So, you know, you've learned to manage things. You things have happened to you, opportunities you weren't given. So you start, you know, boiling some, you know, frustration with it. I think the other part is the social awareness, like the speedboat analogy, yeah. like, hey, this is a great ride down the river. Look at that. We're just checking stuff out and whoa,
yeah.
we're putting off some waves and it's hitting the shore and those docks are floating. but our ride looked good.
Yeah. You know?
And I think the other one then is relational management. You know, we have to be able to say, I burst out. I'm sorry. I need a mulligan. I need a mulligan, you know? And so I think those four are really important in, you know, the emotional regulation. And Goleman will attest to those four categories. The higher your EI, the more stable you are, the more successful you'll be, not just yourself,
yes,
but everybody.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I think that the first one I was chuckling about, you know, the self-awareness, you know, that really is the big one, because how you'll never even know to look back, or you'll never even know to regulate something with a relationship or anything like that if you are not aware of what's going on. So could you help people maybe start to become self-aware? What would be some things that they might start to notice around them that might make them start the process of going, I need to slow down here a little bit. I need to take a look at this. What might they be seeing or around them?
Well, I think first you have to be willing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be willing to see.
Sure.
Right. You know, you just can't plow through the day and say, I had a great day. I blew up about 17 people, but I had a great day.
Right.
Why are you in leadership then? You know,
right.
You should be in detonation of bombs or whatever, you know. I think willingness. I think one other piece is a humbleness.
Sure.
You know, to say, you know, well, I wonder how that affected them.
Right.
I mean, I just said what I thought, you know, and yeah, I could see their heads go down and they grabbed their pencil and didn't write a note down in the meeting.
Right.
I'm noticing, I'm seeing things, you know. And I think probably the third one, I've kind of watched this as a quality. I love this word for leaders. Please try this one. It's empathy.
Mm.
If you have empathy, like what is it to be in your shoes when I'm in a meeting and I blast off?
Mm-hmm.
And empathy, the higher the empathy, the higher the awareness, right. I have found.
Right.
The lack of compassion, the lack of understanding, the lack of empathy of others. And when you lead, you're with others. It's sure. Not leading yourself. You know, you're going on a walk alone.
Right.
But I think that really correlates to, if you have more empathy, you'll have more awareness. And awareness is so freeing for everyone around you. They're like,
he knows, he gets it. Yeah.
Right. You know, and to let it linger. I had one boss, one of my first jobs, and he just didn't get it. I mean, he was a really talented person. I don't think he had a bad heart. I think he was an entrepreneur. He was a quick start kind of a guy, but he just, well, you know what to do now. And he would leave and you're like, we don't even know what to do. What in the right. world? He just left us. So I think empathy says, did I make sense? Can you do this?
Right.
What tools do we need to? So I think the self-awareness piece really is a big one. It kind of starts it all. I think that's the pyramid is first is self-awareness. But the one thing that we're not telling people to do is give up, you know, how you feel.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it's just maybe know the constructs of where you're at, whether society in a meeting, in a family unit. What's the best way to communicate? And that's kind of what it gets down to me, is your feelings are communicated.
Right.
You know, it's communication kind of control.
Right.
I've had others, you know, when you're in meetings and like, you're like, well, that was totally dysregulated, that you didn't need to say that, you know.
Right.
Or tune someone out and you can see them leave the meeting and they come back 30 minutes later hoping you're done reporting.
Yep.
Okay, that was pretty immature. But
or they pull out their phone and start, like they just tune you out while they're...
Well, yeah, exactly. To me, self-awareness doesn't come from a book.
Of course not. No. It's, no.
So I wouldn't recommend to the listeners and even us, read up on it. I think you have to practice it.
Yes.
You know, and really be willing to watch another person's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And not be defensive, be willing. But then really think, what's it like to walk in your shoes versus what I intended? And sometimes intention is received wrong, even though I didn't intend
right.
to
right.
offend you. I just
But I
blew the doors off.
Right. But I said something. Clearly, I could see it in your face. Clearly, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. But right.
Yeah. And I think apologies. I mean, this is not about our episode today. But I think apologies are so healthy to give, but so rare to receive.
Yeah. Well, but you know, there's. I think we've all been around the people that will deflect it by saying when they blow up. They'll just be something like, my bad, but then nothing ever changes. So you're like, okay, that's not really an apology. You're basically just saying to the other person, this is the way that I am, deal with it. And you're not, that's not self-aware and it's not an apology. An apology is saying, I messed up and I want to make a change so it doesn't happen again. And I want to make things right now. That's the self-aware component that can, you know, grow the emotional regulation going down the road, because then you're halfway through a tirade. The next time you're halfway into it. And then you realize, oh, I'm doing it again. I'm sorry. And then eventually get to the spot when you go and open your mouth to say it. And then you go, oh, nope.
And then the next time is you don't open your mouth.
Right. That's the regulation. Is it? I think it's the maturity. It grows over time.
Yeah. I mentioned a few minutes ago about a quick start kind of a leader. That might be another add to this is slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know whoever gets credit for this, Craig, but you know, that 5-second rule, not on food on the floor, but wait, you know,
yeah.
I don't know who gets credit for that, but that does help. I've also seen people wait five seconds and also blow up.
Right.
You know, like start thinking
it's
about
it. It's a slow fuse.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a longer wick than I thought, but it's still going to explode. You know? Right. I do think our influence, kind of the simplest definition of leadership, is so trajectory sensitive on our emotional regulation, sure. Specifically awareness.
Yep.
We're just hurting ourselves. Granted, others can be hurt by our dysregulation, but we're really hurting ourselves. Eventually, we won't be asked to be around the table, not on a committee. You know, we're not going to be asked to manage or lead this project. They're just going to be like, she.
And I think that the if you're in the leadership position, you know, you can obviously invite yourself to be on that committee, but I think that you should, if you're going to be self-aware, start noticing other people don't want to be invited to be on that committee with you. You know, and they're not coming to you with the things anymore. You're walking down the hallway with your game face on, and they're like, I'm going to go over here and pretend like I'm on the phone because I don't know if they're going to blow up. And that's part of the being the self-aware too, is like, I'm in trying to invite people to be on these things and they don't want to be around me.
No, I think, you know, the regulation really is thoughts, actions, and obviously words are an addition to that. Cause you can go by somebody like, don't talk to her.
Whew. Yeah.
Oh, you can just feel the heat. You know, you're going to get porcupine pins if you say something. You know?
Right. Or the body language, you know, they're scowling, their arms crossed, and you know, and then you're like, okay, well, don't approach them.
Right. I used to call it number 11.
Yeah. Right there in the middle.
Yeah. I do think self-awareness can be one of the biggest hurdles to get over to be a really amazing leader. But I want to go back to your book, Servant Leading. A really great emotional regulated leader is a servant leader.
Yeah.
To tie it in. So you haven't got his book, find us. He's got an amazing book.
Well, let's talk. Let's assume that because we have a very intelligent audience that joins us, because we hear the feedback from you, the way that you're applying some of these things, and we absolutely love it. So let's assume that all of our audience are self-aware people. When we were sharing some notes, you gave me this list, and I'm going to have you go through it.
Oh, I thought you were going to read it.
I know, how to improve your regulation skills. So we're talking to people that are self-aware, and they say, you know, I haven't really regulated my emotions well, or I have, but I think I can still do it better. Go through that list that you shared. I think that's an excellent list.
Can I disobey you?
Sure.
One thing I want to say about regulation really quick, it doesn't negate the intensity of the emotion.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
It alters the intensity.
Yep.
And you're not then owned by your own intensity. Right. I think there's a freedom for us.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, there's a few... improvement regulation skills, identify and reduce your triggers. The irony could be maybe not be around someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, as much as you.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's a vendor, could be a customer. You know, I have to admit here, I've had to fire two customers because they were just not healthy for my team. And I lost money having to protect my team. They just were not a good fit.
Yep.
So identify those triggers and then try to isolate them, boundary them. You know, don't go in there. And, you know, let's say you went to Ohio State and I went to Michigan. I don't want to talk bad about Scarlet and Gray. It's, you know, it's going to be this, right? Or you like the Lions and I like the Bears. You know, just avoid the trigger. It doesn't mean don't have real feelings,
right.
But that just isn't maybe the place because you don't know where it goes. There's right. no bumper guards right. in that game. I think one is tune into your own symptoms. Like you had shared, you know, like things that you did when you went to a place of employment and you had to kind of get your game face on, get your right. attitude ready.
Yep.
And then when you left, you had to kind of reassemble.
Yep.
I'm going home. These are not the bad people. You know,
yep.
you have to kind of do those. So the symptoms of, oh, I'm pretty flush.
Yeah. My jaw muscle's really tight exactly. right now. Yeah.
Or, guy, my forehead kind of hurts. Right. I need Botox.
You yeah.
know, just so the symptoms, they yeah. come out.
Absolutely.
We're so emotional. I love that part of us.
Right.
And yet at the same time, it's one of the loose cannons we got, you know. I think positive talk, because the negativity can really get us triggered, like politics, church, you know, divorce, you know, failure, you know, I don't have enough money. I can't go. I want to be like the Joneses. All those, so that positive talk kind of overcomes those things that kind of ruminate in us.
Sure.
And yep. we don't want to water them, fertilize right. them. Sometimes we stew and mull too much. I know of a couple people that mull a lot and you're like, let it go.
My yeah.
goodness, you know, but it's about control, you know, and it helps them maybe feel better, but they're not really better.
Sure.
It's a trigger.
Yep.
And then fourth, I think just take control of how you respond. I think that would be my quick lesson is give up the reaction.
Yep.
That's one of my communication ahas for me is you're talking and I'm thinking, what am I going to respond next? What's my next thing? No, listen, mm-hmm. just slow it down. And I think that would be my fourth skill to develop is just take your moment to respond.
Yes.
You know, not,
well,
you're not in a race.
And I like the difference between responding and reacting because reacting to me feels like I just want to pop it off like right away. The response can be more thoughtful. And in that moment, you know, it's amazing in just the breath that you take, how many thoughts can go through your mind of like, no, that wouldn't be appropriate to say. That's too strong. That's, you know, that just that. And you know what? It's okay to say to somebody, I need to address this with you, but I don't think I'm in a good spot right now. I might say something that all of us are going to regret later. Can we come back to this later?
Right.
You know, I think that's perfectly fine. Or I've been totally obvious about when I've been in a room and the conversation is getting a little bit heated up that I'll just go, boy, it's beautiful weather that we're having today, isn't it? You know, just like totally obvious change the conversation, and that usually most of the people in the room, the self-aware people, will say, oh yeah, this conversation's getting pretty out of control. It's getting heated right. up. Let's just set this aside. And yeah. you know,
I think, you know, kind of a finish up before maybe give a quote and close it up, but I think the real emotional regulation, people are pretty sensitive.
Yes,
maybe more than they were a generation ago or two generations ago. The damage done in our relationships, in our society, in our norms, in our tribes, in our groups, today they might be unfixable. The way people are coming into the groups, they're just super sensitive. They're almost looking for a reason not to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's just different today.
Sure.
And that's a challenge for us leaders is it's generation differences and biases. I really like the challenge of regulate yourself. I'm not saying not be true to yourself. That's not what we're saying, or suppress those.
Regulate.
Right. It's, you know, it's like you don't go 55 in a school zone in your vehicle. You put the brakes on.
Right.
You accelerate as you get on the ramp for the highway because the rest of the people are going at least 70 miles an hour.
Right.
So you do have to adjust things, and it's just natural in life.
Right.
I think it's a big goal. It's something I wish to be better at. And I think getting back to the willingness to do it, the humbleness to do it, and trying to say, you know, this is not going to rule my world. I'm not going to let this trigger. It's such a silly one, you know.
Right.
There's a quote by Viktor Frankl that I like. I'll read it quick. It's not the polite to read to you all, but I don't want to misquote it. Between stimulus and response, didn't say reaction.
Right.
Response. There is a space. There's an opening. For some of us, there's no gap, right?
Sure.
In that space lies our freedom and power.
Yes.
To choose our response. No one's making me get hot-headed about something that I wasn't expecting. It's my response I control, not what they tried.
Right.
You know, and they might not even intended it. And some we've been around do intend it. You're like, okay,
right. You
need to stiff arm you. In our response lies our growth and freedom. And I think that's really big for us, because isn't that what we're trying to do when we develop other leaders?
Yep.
So it's just a big, I know it's a fun word, emotional regulation. It's got like about 9 syllables. But if we just break it down, it's sort of control your triggers and your response.
Yep. Well, and so again, like I said, we are speaking to an intelligent audience. We believe that you are self-aware, but if you need some help, you say, hey, listen, I got somebody that's really pushing my buttons. I don't think my emotional regulation is quite up to par. If we can help you, check out our coaching huddles at maximizeleadership.com, and we can coach you there. Maybe even coach the entire organization on how to be able to navigate some of these things. We also want to get some feedback from you. If you want to leave a comment below, or if you're on Twitter, Maximize Podcast, send us some thoughts on this episode, or maybe give us some suggestions of topics that you'd like to have us discuss. Maybe there's an issue going on in your workplace and you say, hey, I'd love to have you guys kick this idea around a little bit and give some insight. We'd be happy to do that. So get in touch with us and let us be a resource for you. And especially stay tuned. We have not only the Craig and Greg Show episodes. Greg shares some great shorts that are called Maximize Minutes, and we want you to be able to catch all of those. So on our YouTube channel, make sure that you subscribe and click the notification bell, so that way when any of this content becomes available, you're notified of it. Stay tuned. We've got lots of great things coming up for you.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.